The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
I got to tell you, as a father of four and now a grandfather and one child already in heaven as a result of miscarriage, some of these stories, just I'm just going to speak plainly here, really tick me off. I get really mad. I get really upset. And nothing new under the sun, as our friend Solomon has said in the past. Whether it's the abuse of children back in biblical days as they were, you know, like basically along the same lines as dogs. And then child sacrifice in the Old Testament and Molech. And we've seen that throughout the ages, of course. No small stranger here in America via abortion. And then the Aztecs or the Mayas, I think it was the Aztecs, just horrific abuse of children, and they used to torture them, actually, because they felt they believed that the gods were more pleased by the cries of anguish of children, so they would torture them, and then they'd eventually die. That was all done when the Spaniards found them, and people get ticked off about the Spaniards basically eliminating, I think it was the Aztecs down there in Central America and South America, and it was just brutal. And so today, is it quite as obvious besides abortion? Well, when it comes to the issue of transgenderism, it's starting to get, I mean, it's getting worse by the day, it seems. So I've got several stories here that I want to take you through as a warning for parents and grandparents, schools, public schools, private schools, even, unfortunately, the schools that are U.S. military have to send their kids to when they're overseas. Then we're going to do a follow-up on the Gay Men's Choir story that we ran last week when they did that little tongue-in-cheek video, "We're Coming for Your Children," and some things that have been discovered since then. And then some more effects on children, not quite as brutal as trying to get them to change their gender when they're young, but what happens to them when we pull them out of school and send them home and put them online to do something that the school system isn't equipped to do. And a couple other things before we get to a Money Monday update at the end of the show, which will be fascinating because stock markets are down about 750 points today. They were down closer to 1,000. So a lot to go through, but I'm going to keep ringing the bell on these stories because we all need to be sufficiently woke when it comes to the level of evil that is coming after our children and grandchildren. This was in The Federalist. The transgender industry is culling tomboys out of existence, right? So we're going to get rid of the whole notion of tomboys via the transgender movement. Okay, this is in The Federalist. Virginia's Loudoun County, which has been at ground zero for a lot of things, anti-CRT and stuff there, just ran a horrifying story encouraging gender dysphoria in children. The piece focuses on 7-year-old Sophia, now pretending to be a boy named Max, and her mother, Emily. The unnamed father is almost entirely absent from the article. It was meant to boost transgender ideology in an area that has become a battleground over transgenderism and critical race theory in schools, talking about Loudoun County, but has inadvertently revealed several ugly truths about the trans kids movement. First, this story shows that the transgender movement, and by the way, as enraged as we can get and as I can get, we need to remember to pray for these people. Pray for parents, pray for children, pray for the transgender movement in and of itself. So when we're getting all exercised something, we always need to ask ourselves, do I ever pray about this? First, the story shows that the transgender movement is coming for very young children, starting in preschool. It's just so sick. Transgender advocates insist that kindergartners and even toddlers are capable of committing to transition and that everyone else must affirm it, instead of waiting to see what shakes out as children develop. By the way, there is one study that says about 88% of kids that struggle with gender identity come out of it, 88%, by the time they finish puberty. Imagine that, confusion in puberty, imagine that. As children develop, trans advocates demand that children be immediately transitioned socially, new names, new clothes, new pronouns, new bathrooms, etc., followed by medical transition beginning before puberty. Second, the Loudoun Now piece reveals that sexism is the basis for transitioning these little kids. We're told that as a toddler, quote, Sophia showed a preference for boy toys and sports. Wow, that's a problem. She needs to transition, right? See where this is going? Though Emily continued to offer dresses and dolls, her mom, thinking Sophia would eventually show interest. But when Sophia was only 5, Emily gave up on her efforts to interest her tomboy daughter in girly girl stuff and decided that what she really was a transgender boy. Transgender son. That's what she decides. So I actually have a tomboy daughter, which is, I don't know what exactly is wrong with that. Some girls are just like tomboys. Can we even say that anymore? And they just don't like all the fluffy, typical girly stuff. Okay, so we have to get, as Christians, our understanding of biblical manhood and biblical womanhood needs some work, okay? Because we marginalize people when they don't act according to kind of this social construct of what a boy or a girl should look like or act like. In this, Emily followed fashionable opinion, which she has shifted from insisting that it's fine, even good for girls to like sports, trucks, and other stereotypical boy stuff, to declaring that such girls really must be boys. Goodbye, tomboy. Hello, trans boy. The biggest sources of sex stereotypes and strict gender roles in America today are the trans movement and its allies. Many self-described feminists have knuckled under, cheering as it is said that girls should stick to dresses and dolls and that girls who like boy things must actually be boys. The transgender movement is far more sexist than the most retrograde fundamentalist Christians I've ever known. This is the author, Nathaniel Blake at The Federalist. At least the latter still let their daughters enjoy basketball and PE. Third, this case demonstrates how it is often adults who are pushing for children to transition. The reporter says, quote, it never occurred to Sophia that she was anyone other than a boy, which makes it odd that the story does not relate any instances of Sophia saying that she was or wanted to be a boy. No evidence is provided for this central claim in the story. Instead, the article tells about Sophia, around 5 years of age, admiring Max from Stranger Things, the show on Netflix, to the point of wanting to be called Max. Hey, listen, we have a 6'5" son who's 20 and very male. Stereotypical fishing sports big dude, right? 6'5", like 200 pounds. He's a big guy. But I can show you a picture of him. Sorry, buddy. I can show you a picture of him when he was like 4 or 5 or 6 when his older sister dressed him up in a tutu. Oh, look. Our son went along with his older sister, dressed him up in a tutu. He must be a girl. Let's call a doctor. Right? That's how sick this is. So I'm going to pick it up there and then I'm going to move on because I'm going to keep saying these things. I'm going to keep telling these stories so that people are aware. Do not trust the public school system. Don't trust the private school system. Don't ultimately trust anything other than the Lord and his word. Everything else we should be skeptical about, including ourselves, by the way. Always be suspicious of your own motives. This is Steve Noble. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, continuing to ring the bell about how our children are being abused by this society in which we live today in the subject of transgenderism. And this is all over the place and it's growing. OK, it's the spirit of the age. And you live in a pagan nation. I live in a pagan nation. We live in a pagan nation. And this is, you have to be aware of what's going on because you're probably OK. I'm mostly OK. But our children and grandchildren, no. And I don't even know. This is like a pre-9/11 mindset in a post 9/11 world. In September of 2000, we didn't really have the imagination to see planes flying into the towers in the Pentagon and then going down in Shanksville. We didn't really have the imagination for that. Now we do. And I think now in this, with the spirit of the age and the paganism of this nation, that the stuff coming after our kids and what the country's going to look like in 10 years or 20 years short of a major revival and an awakening, I don't know that we have the imagination for it. So we're going through some of these stories to continue to ring the bell so that we're paying attention, looking out. And indeed, reading the story about this little girl, Sophia, who's a tomboy, but no, you must be a real boy. So we need to transition you. It's striking that no evidence of gender dysphoria is presented beyond a little girl being a tomboy. However, it does appear Emily was distressed at her daughter being a tomboy instead of a girly girl. And we're told that Emily can now get her little boy to cooperate in dressing up, albeit in bow ties and button down shirts rather than dresses. Fourth, going through points, the problems here. This story illustrates the pernicious effects of the trans movement's hostage-taking. Emily admits to concerns about the future medical transition of her daughter, at least she's thinking right there, but dismisses them by repeating word for word the transgender's mantra, I'd rather have a trans son than a dead daughter. Have you heard that one before? Yet this story presents no evidence that Sophia ever considered, let alone threatened or attempted suicide. Emily's fears seem to be entirely instilled from outside sources. Although the Loudon Now story up in Loudon, Virginia, was an attempt at pro-trans propaganda and inadvertently let the truth out. The readers left to fill in the gaps and some omissions, but it clearly shows how the trans movement is filling parents' minds with propaganda and fear to induce them to transition very young children based on crude sex stereotypes. In this case, a 7-year-old girl is now a handful of years away from permanent body mutilation and sterility via puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgery. Pay attention to what's going on out there, okay? Pay attention. Parents and grandparents, get involved. Don't trust any environment implicitly. Defense Department schools. What? Transitioning students' gender behind parents' backs? This was in the Daily Signal the other day. As parental outrage with progressive curriculums, comprehensive sex ed, gender identity, CRT stuff sweeps across the country, military parents have good reason to be up in arms. That's because Department of Defense Education Activity Schools, institutions that educate children from military families, are helping children change their names and pronouns at school behind their parents' backs. What? A parent's right to oversee the care, education, and control of his child is guaranteed by the 14th Amendment and was affirmed by the Supreme Court in 1923 in Meyer versus Nebraska and as recently as 2000 in Troxell versus Granville. The examples are plentiful, what's going on out there. Video evidence from the Department of Defense Education Activities Equity and Access Summit. Whenever you hear the word equity, ding, 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 get involved. Go find out. Become Sherlock Holmes for the sake of your children or grandchildren. Shows that one case at a school in Rota, Spain, a 7th grade language arts and high school humanities teacher, who's also a gay straight alliance sponsor, plenty of overlap there, by the way, told teachers that in some instances they will need to protect children from parents who do not know about their child's gender transition. Another conference presenter who teaches English and drama at a high school in Stuttgart, Germany, and is also a Gay Straight Alliance sponsor, has gone the extra mile to assist children with their gender transitions at school. She noted that while some parents are fully on board with their child's gender transition plans, other parents are labeled as unsupportive, like deplorables, and have no idea that their children have transitioned at school. To quote-unquote out children to their parents, said the teacher, would be unsafe and would put them at risk at home. This is sick. For these children, she claims, school might be the only safe place for them to be their authentic selves with their chosen safe adult. This is so Orwellian and sick. It just is. It's just evil. I have no other way to describe this. Activist Gay Straight Alliance sponsors are assuming the roles of medical professional and parent as they facilitate secret gender transitions at school. This wasn't discussed or debated, much less approved by American parents before being implemented. It's one thing after another. The tragic case of Kira Bell underscores how important it is for parents to dig deeper. Living in a broken home in the United Kingdom, Bell felt detached from her mother, who suffered from alcoholism and mental illness, and from her father, who was emotionally and physically distant. At the age of 14, she became severely depressed and began questioning her identity. Who wouldn't when you're that broken? Bell began seeing a psychologist who referred her to the Tavistock Gender Identity Development Service, the UK's National Health Service Specialist Gender Clinic for Pediatrics, when she was 15. The clinic diagnosed her with gender dysphoria at 16 after only 3 1-hour appointments. The clinic prescribed puberty blockers. This is just child abuse. To satisfy somebody's virtue signaling. And you can hear the devil laugh with a bag of popcorn and a soda. Later, Bell progressed to testosterone treatments. Though her father strongly opposed her transition, she underwent a double mastectomy at 20. Enter Frankenstein. She has since detransitioned and at 23 sued Tavistock, claiming she was too young to make such consequential decisions. No kidding. In December, Britain's High Court sided with Bell. Tavistock appealed the ruling and the appeal was heard on June 23rd and 24th. Judgment is pending. I hope they shut the place down. And that kind of stuff is going on out there. Department of Defense Education Activity Schools are flouting the very laws that military parents have sworn to defend, and activist educators should top the list of extremists, quote unquote, that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is committed to rooting out of the military. God help us. Follow up on the Gay Men's Choir song, "We're Coming for Your Children." What's that song, Steve? Well, here's some lyrics. You say we all lead lives you don't respect, but you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. will convert your children. It happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. We're coming for them. We're coming for your children. We're coming them. We're coming for your children. And then that song there, because we're going to make them fair and tolerant. We're coming for your children to make them better people. Unlike the closed-minded, bigoted, homophobic Christians, most likely, that you are. So that was their tongue-in-cheek effect, okay, their tongue-in-cheek attempt at it. So they got hammered by it. And the Western Junior used something called the Wayback Machine, so you can go look at websites the way they were in the past. The Western Journal obtained the apparently scrubbed list of chorus members and cross-referenced those names with a database of registered sex offenders in California. See? Dig. While the matches could be coincidental, some offenders may just happen to have the same name as members of the choir, the Western Journal unearthed at least four credible matches: David Wallace, Lawrence Errol Friedberg, Louis Quadra, and Keith Pepper. Okay, distinct names. David Eugene Wallace was convicted of lewd and lascivious acts with a child under 14 years of age in 1985. There is a David Sean Wallace listed in the chorus roster. In 2001, Lawrence Earl Friedberg was similarly convicted of lewd or lascivious acts with a child under 14 years of age. There is an Earl Friedberg listed on the roster, one of the offender's known aliases, according to the registry. That looks like two for two to me. Louis Quadra was convicted of lewd and lascivious acts with a child under 14 years of age in 2018 and released in 2020. A Louis Quadra first appeared on a list of the group's board members in September. Finally, Keith Aaron Pepper was convicted of lewd or lascivious acts with a child under 14 in 1998. There is a Keith Pepper on the list of the group's board members. Does that mean they're all guilty? I don't know. But there is a red flag. And of course, not all gay men and gay people are pedophiles, but some are. And in the realm of just sexual perversion and sin, just like heterosexual perversion and sin, it's all out there. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're going to talk to David Fisher in the fourth segment, because the market's just getting hammered today, so we'll do a little Money Monday update. As of right now, the Dow Jones Industrial down 725 points. It was even worse earlier today. So we'll talk to David and see what's going on there with a little Money Monday update in the final segment of the show. But walking through a bunch of stories that remind us as parents and grandparents, I'm going to use the word paranoid. Be paranoid about your kids in public school, private school, military stuff. Just there's so much going on, so many things coming after our kids. That's why we're talking about some of the transgender stuff and just the ideology that's out there. The spirit of the age is vigorous and just going after younger. And just like with vaccinations, talking about vaccine kids, getting the COVID vaccine below the age of 12. Hey, we got to get it down to sixth graders and I mean, six-year-olds and three-year-olds and two-year-olds who are statistically zero chance of death, really all the way up through about 24. Statistically, based on the 76 million people in America that fall into that age range, some have died, and that's horrific. Every one of them's tragic and horrific. But statistically speaking, out of 76 million people, to have about 2,400 deaths in that age group from newborn to 24 is statistically insignificant in terms of policy and how you approach the entire country. And all that insanity is going on. And I've often spoken in terms of dominoes. Do you like dominoes? Ever play dominoes? Line them up, knock them over, right? Not the game. But all these dominoes lining up behind the COVID virus itself. Here's proof of one. 41% of Baltimore high school students earn below a 1.0 GPA. A significant number of belt. And who cares, right? Because we have an agenda here. We have a political agenda and a worldview agenda, so who cares what we do to our kids in the meantime? A significant number of Baltimore public high school students earned below a D grade point average during the first three quarters of 2020 and 2021 school year, according to an analysis which found that during that time period, 41% earned a 1.0 grade point average or below. That would mean more than 8,400 of Baltimore City schools' 20,500 students are getting grades below a D overall. The school district, in a statement to Fox News and other outlets, appeared to blame the poor student performance on the COVID-19 pandemic. Yes, I agree. Consistent with the experience of many school districts across the country, the COVID-19 pandemic created significant disruptions to student learning. As early as the summer of 2020, city schools identified large number of students with decreases in their grade point averages and classroom performance when compared to past performances, Baltimore City Schools stated. Across the United States, a number of public schools struggled to implement online learning for students during COVID-19-related lockdowns. Some districts saw an increased rate of failures and an increase in absences from classes. I remember reading last year at about this time, at the end of the second semester, when we started sending kids home in droves, like L.A. County had, I don't know, 20 or 30,000 students that hadn't shown up online in weeks. And what are they going to do about it? Nothing. So they just fall between the cracks. For example, nearby Arundel County in Maryland saw failure rates more than double to 7% from 3%, according to data obtained by the Baltimore Sun. So more abuse of children for what? Allegedly for their own good. But that's where President Trump had it right. He feared that our response to the COVID virus would actually be more damaging than the virus itself. And these dominoes are going to be falling for a while. And they go, but the vaccine, but the vaccine. Yeah, but the jury, I would say, is out on the vaccine still, because your average mass-produced and mass-distributed vaccine has about 7 to 10 years before they actually get to that point. This had about 8 or 9 months. Totally rushed out. Now, an interesting question to all of my Trump friends out there. If Donald Trump had won, if Donald Trump were still in the White House and you refused to get the vaccine now, would you have refused it with Donald Trump in the White House? And he's telling you, hey, you got to get vaxxed. You got to get vaxxed. You got to love your neighbor. Get out there. Would you come out and say, sorry, Mr. President, I agree with you most of the time. Not this time. Or does the person in the White House affect how you make a decision about the vaccine? I hope it doesn't. I hope what helps you make a decision about the vaccine is critical thinking, research, prayer, counsel of wise people, and then make a decision. Okay? Celia on Facebook Live, Larry Elder, who's a talk radio guy running for governor out there, although he's not on the list officially yet, I don't think, was talking about the kids in LA today. Only 2% were grade level in math. Excellent. But just give them some more money. It'll be fine. All right, I wanted to spend a couple minutes on this by Richard Land, who's on the Christian Post executive editor now. He's been involved in the culture war and Christianity for years, decades, actually. Proud to be American? Why grateful is a better word? That really caught my attention because I struggle in my own life with what I would call political idolatry. You care more about America than you do about Americans. We're more concerned with the culture than we are about the lost. And you might not say that, but in our deeds, perhaps it shows a different story. So he's talking about last week, he's the startling results of polling. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that only about a third of Americans aged 18 to 24 were proud or very proud of being an American. Richard Land argued that one of the main reasons for this dramatic fall off in patriotism was the infiltration of critical race theory into the nation's public schools. However, he writes, I wanted to focus on a different aspect of the survey, measuring how proud are you to be an American. As I read the survey, I found myself pondering the word proud. Is that an accurate definition of what other Americans and I feel about America? I don't think so, Richard writes. At least it was not the word I feel most comfortable using. Proud denotes something I have done. I've done nothing. I have nothing to do with my being born in America. I can hear some of you saying, but Dr. Land, you're a conservative Republican. It's true that I am a conservative and a Republican, Richard writes, but those are not the most important words to use in describing me. I am a Christian, an American, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. As a Christian, I believe that God knitted me and embroidered me in my mother's womb, and all my parts were written in God's book before any one of them came to be, Psalm 139. For me, Richard writes, and for millions of Christians, being an American is a divinely bestowed blessing. Being born an American is like being born on third base in the great scheme of things, and being proud of it like being born on third base and thinking you hit a triple. Now let me pause there for a second. Being born on third base in the great scheme of things, to be born in America relative to a good chunk of the world, okay? Not relative to perfection, which nobody's going to achieve. No nation's ever going to achieve. Jesus will when he comes back, and it's heaven on earth. But until then, all have fallen short of the glory of God, right? Nations, people, corporations, whatever. Radio show hosts. So I like that thinking. When you say you're proud, it's like you hit the triple. But no, this is you got placed on third base. No, we among all humanity are the most fortunate of people to have been in the providence of God, born an American. In the providence of God, having been born American makes me the recipient of a priceless inheritance and a cherished national heritage of commitment to individual human dignity and the freedom to live according to the dictates of your own conscience without governmental interference. When I contemplate what it means to be an American, Richard writes, I'm filled with gratitude and awe, not pride. I agree. If we allow our founding institutions to be undermined by a metastasizing CRT, critical race theory, we will see an American balkanized, an America balkanized and disintegrate. If we no longer bear common allegiances to our founding documents and founding principles, then why should California and Texas remain in the same country? Why should Alabama and Vermont not separate? If that happens, it'll be a tragedy of unspeakable proportions for the people of the United States. It will also be a terrible tragedy for the citizens of the world. As Winston Churchill reminded us, it is on the whole that such things must be measured. And America has been a positive and civilizing influence in the world. Has America, by the way, has Richard here ever said that we've been perfect? No. Has America been perfect, he writes, both here at home and abroad? Of course not. However, we've been better than any other nation in standing up for freedom and human dignity for others as well as ourselves. Now, I would take issue with that when it comes to abortion, because we're just like most of the other nations around the world. 40 million abortions a year worldwide. Close to a million a year here in America. Close your eyes and think for a moment about what the world would look like without the United States of America. Without America, evil people in the world would have run rampant in the past, and they would run rampant now and in the future. That's true. Without America, Germany would have won World War I. The Kaiser was not Hitler, but a 20th century dominated by Imperial Germany would have been no walk in the park. Then, of course, without America, the Germans and the Japanese would have won World War II, which would have ushered in what Churchill called a dark new age. Without America, the last half of the 20th century would have been dominated by the evil empire of the Soviet Union, which would have had terrible repercussions for human freedom and dignity the world over. As long as America is around, evil people getting up to evil things have had to ask themselves, if we do this, will the Americans come? If America disintegrates or is reorganized as an entirely different country, they will no longer have to ask that question. People the world over will suffer terribly, and the weaker and more vulnerable they are, the more they'll suffer. So, Richard Land finishes, am I quote-unquote proud to be an American? No, he says. I am grateful beyond words, and I understand to whom much is given, much is required, Luke 12:48. As the recipient of great blessings, I have a responsibility to work for human freedom and dignity both here and around the world. America is a country, but it is also a cause, and the cause is human freedom. Now, that's really well said, and it's humble, and because I'm proud to be an American. Okay, are you proud of all the things that America has done? No, of course not. Am I grateful to be an American? Absolutely. So that's a good point. I think that's a very healthy point for us as Christians to ponder. Words mean things, and I can't judge your heart, obviously. But I certainly know that I've had my times of being a bit of a political idolater, and that's not good. Okay, markets having a terrible day. We'll talk to David Fisher about that when we come back. I don't mind. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Markets are getting hammered today. Dow Jones Industrial currently down 725 points, NASDAQ down 152, and S&P 500 down 68.67. So the S&P down about 1.6%, the Dow down over 2%, and the NASDAQ down just over 1%. So a lot going on there. How do we look at that? What does that mean to us in our regular daily lives, since most of us aren't obviously billionaire or millionaire investors? And so for that, we always, once a week, bring up this subject because the Bible talks about it a lot, money and possessions. We talk about it on a regular basis as well with our good friend David Fisher, who's an expert in this arena, has been in there for 25 years as well as a brother in Christ with LandmarkGold.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for having me on your program.
You're very welcome. Great to hear from you again. So we're going to dive into all this market concerns and market corrections and inflation. But before we do, we always dive into the scriptures first, which is we need that more than we need our finances. So Hebrews 13:5, what a great one here again. And especially with them, whenever I see the word content, I think most of us struggle with that. So let's do this one first, and then we'll dive into some of the news.
Yeah, so the scripture says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a handful of people, when they've, those that are us that are believers, I've heard this being said before, that, you know, I'm I'm just going to trust God, you know, with my money, and because they correlate that if they have stewardship over it and they're focused on it, and you can be a steward, good steward, and focus on it, because if you're going to focus on something, you're going to be a good steward. That doesn't mean that you have the love for money. So there's a big difference. I want to make sure that there, us all as believers, that we can, you know, strive for to follow Christ in every area of our life. But that doesn't mean that we're being an idol within ourselves. It means we let the Lord be our God, and He is the one that is who we serve. So there's a big difference between the love of money and being a good steward of the money that the Lord has entrusted with us. And whether we are a good steward or not, whether we have a lot of money or not, we always need to be content with what He's entrusted us with to be a good steward.
Yeah, it's such a great point. And then there right at the end of Hebrews 13:5, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That is a promise, and that is currency, and that is a stability that is in your account for all time, that it doesn't matter what the NASDAQ's doing today or what the stock market's doing today. That's there forever. And that makes it a lot easier to be content, knowing that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So a great way to begin, especially with a topsy-turvy day. So speaking of that, what in the world is going on? The stock indexes are down significantly, and people are freaking out. I know there's COVID concerns, but help us understand what's happening with these red numbers today.
Well, they're down on Friday also. In fact, the month of July is the worst month of the year so far for all the indexes. On Friday, the Consumer Sentiment Index came out from the University of Michigan, and as soon as the report was released, the market started to fall. That report, Steve, shows that consumers believe prices are going to increase this next year significantly, in fact. So traders became concerned that consumers were concerned, and traders started, you know, going towards the exit and selling, you know, positions over the weekend. It's bleeding over today. There's also a COVID strain. The Delta variant is causing concern. There's also this whole idea that the market is in a bubble. So there's three major things: inflation, the COVID strain, and the market in a bubble. Morgan Stanley chief equity strategist, I'm referring to Mike Wilson. We've talked about him before many times. He came out on Friday, and he kind of reiterated the same thing today. I'll say what he said today. He said, the market breadth has been deteriorating for months and is just another confirmation of a mid-cycle transition. In our view, it usually ends with a correction, 10 to 20%. So get ready for a correction, because the market is in a bubble. And it's not like the dot-com bubble where it was just tech. This is, in fact, all 11 sectors are lower today. Financials, travel. Travel's really getting hit hard. So the silver lining is inflation, I guess. The Social Security came out, and they're going to have a cost of living adjustment up 6.1% adjustment upward, the biggest adjustment since 1983. So the government believes there's inflation, but the Fed doesn't.
Well, like our friend TJ has said before, the Fed's both the arsonist and the firefighter. And so, and they're you know, they're running around, like, speaking of firefighters, with their hair on fire and trying to avoid the appearance of a nightmare. And so they've been manipulating the economy for years, and they're just addicted. They're stuck in that cycle now, so they have to keep playing that game. You mentioned the word bubble. So how much of this bubble, if at all, correlates to these literally trillions of dollars of Fed stimulus that we've seen not only recently, but really over the last several years? They've been pumping money into the system like crazy. Is that part of the bubble?
Well, yeah, absolutely right. There is a direct correlation. Steve Hanke, he's the professor of Applied Economics. He served with Reagan in the Council of Economic Advisors. So pretty smart guy, been around a long time. He said that U.S. inflation is going to climb to 6 to 9% by year's end, and he said that there is a direct correlation, 100%, he used that number, between the growth of inflation and the money supply. So that's why we're seeing the rise of inflation. So there is a very strong correlation. Some say it's 1-to-1, and some say it's very close to 1-to-1.
Yeah, so you've got inflation, and then, of course, that makes it harder for us to buy what we're used to buying because everything in the cost of living goes up with the cost of everything. But then the dollar as well, is that a factor here? Because as the dollar loses value, then again, we have to shell out more of it to buy what we would buy normally a year ago.
Well, they say inflation is just another form of a tax against the dollar. And, you know, something that, you know, where your Kyle Bass, who's a billionaire, says inflation is really at 10% everywhere you look. Or if you're a Wisdom Tree analyst, they say it's going to go to 20% within the next 5 years. Here's a new one. This is probably the worst thing I've heard in a lot of years. Jeffrey Gundlach, we've talked about him before, billionaire, hedge fund manager, manages over $135 billion. On Thursday, CNBC, largest financial news network, he said the dollar is doomed. I almost fell out of my chair when I heard that. I had to get the article just to make sure I did have it right. But yeah, that's what he said. The dollar is doomed. And he said in the interim, we're going to see a dollar rise, and then it's going to fall substantially. And he's referring to about next year. So,
jeez.
Who knows? I hope he's wrong, but he's also one that says we're going to have to default on the debt 6 weeks ago, he said.
Man, yeah, I mean, these are obviously some of the smartest, most intelligent money managers on the planet, and you got to listen when they say stuff like that. And so many times over the last couple of years, David, on the show, you'll mention one of these guys and something they said, and I'm always like, what? Seriously?
Yeah.
Because they're saying things. I mean, it's just crazy what the institutional world is saying about some of these things on the ground that we're not hearing much of, because most of us aren't watching CNBC all day long, and you don't hear this stuff in the mainstream news, and especially mainstream media, which is trying to cover for the government all the time. So it's just a nightmare. So in terms of the area of this whole picture where you really have focused for the last 25 years or so with gold and silver, so how does that factor into this whole conversation?
Well, obviously, it's like you said, it's to the other side of the teeter-totter. And by the way, Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan, something's going on in the banking industry. They're halting all credit lines of credit, personal and corporate, for some reason, start last month. So something's going on. Maybe Jeffrey Gundlach has it all together, too. But all the analysts are coming out to have nothing to do with gold. Here's a guy, he says gold's going to hit $4,000. He's a financial planner, ironically. He's just going to see the biggest bubble we have in burst ever. It's going to happen within the next 2 years, possibility. The biggest bubble, he says, ever. He says it's going to be a bigger downturn than we've ever seen in history. So, you know, you got to diversify and not have all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your money in gold or silver, and don't put all your money in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds.
Yeah, that's like going to the grocery store and you only go on one aisle.
That's a great analogy.
You're not going to be able to, that's not going to work very well at home. So what's gold and silver been like this year? Because in the past several years, I mean, it was crazy to watch it relative to the market, but what's it been doing this year? Because we're in really kind of strange economic times.
So it's doing exactly what it did in 1971, 72, and early 73. It didn't do well. It actually went down. And then in 73, the latter part of that, after the bubble burst in the Dow and it corrected 50%, gold and silver took off because inflation got impacted and actually got solidified. So until we start to see, not that bubble burst, but until we get a little bit further down the road, you're going to start to see gold and silver probably move sideways a little bit, maybe move down a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised. It doesn't bother me because you're going to see a big run. Why? Because others who are saying, who don't own a gold and silver company, they're talking about gold and silver going to $3,000, $4,000, and even higher. There's other people I can quote. We don't have time to do it, but the psychology is we're going to have inflation. It's going to be permanent, not transitory.
Wow.
And that's why you got to get some gold and silver while prices are low.
If people want to get more information and try to understand that, it took me a while to figure it out. But then once I did, it made perfect sense to me in terms of diversification. What can people do?
Give us a call, 844-604-2575, or go to landmarkgold.com.
Nice and simple. David, always great to hear from you. Thanks for your time today and expertise. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good, my brother.
All right, pal. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much. On the road tomorrow, I'll be at Bob Jones University. I've never been there before. looking at doing some educational things with them. They've done wondrous works in the homeschool world and the school and the seminary. A lot of things going on down there. So I'm going down for a visit. So we're going to be broadcasting live from Greenville, South Carolina, the next 2 days. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.